Toto. Oh, am I on? Yep, I am on. Wow, what a great start to the Sunday show. Kia ora koutou, no mai haere mai ki Kikats Tamaki Makaurau's comprehensive art show, brought to you every Sunday night here at Planet FM 104.6 or live stream planetaudio.org.nz. Ko Marian Infante Tene, your host for the next 90 minutes, and we are going to have a nice, relaxing Sunday, everyone, because the week was really busy for me, and I'm sure it is for a lot of you kick-ass people out there. And I cannot wait to introduce our guests coming up soon. But for now, this is a wonderful recommendation by Georgia Parker. Georgia, if you're listening, missing you, girl. Missing you. This is a RockQuest, I believe, winner, national winner. I could be wrong. Georgia will correct me. But this is Ease My Mind by Arlo Mack. Let's have a listen.
You got the ways to numb in the pain. Don't start running away from fear. Stop running away from fear. You got a heart that's stone, lips of gold. I guess I'm so. What do I know? You're like the white thing, but not so me. You let me free. Was I not? Keep thinking too much. I guess I was stuck. You got a heart of stone, but lips of gold. I guess I'm so.
Again, I was really confused. I was like, wow, that's a really long song. I was like, nope, it's just started again because it's a really cool song. Thank you so much, Georgia Parker, for that wonderful recommendation. Guys, today in the studio, I am joined by the lovely Richard Manick and Jamiska Shetty. Yay.
Good evening.
Yay. Good evening. Oh, such sultry voices tonight. Oh, I'm loving it. I'm very excited because, you know what, it's nice to have It's nice to have a room full of people, but it's also nice to also just have to
be able to spread out.
Yeah. Take all the space, you know? I want to hear all of your deepest, darkest secrets and fears.
I've already got my feet on the table,
oh,
you know?
Oh, yeah.
I'm owning my space.
Yeah, that's it. You do that. Plant
Sorry about the socks.
As long as you're comfortable, Richard.
I'm always comfortable.
I'm glad to hear that. So we're going to get started. Richard, would you like to introduce yourself?
Okay, I'm Richard Manick, and I play a very interesting pirate character called Captain Festus McBoyle, who's a bit of a renegade.
You know what, mate? Where did that character name come from? What's the origin? What's the history?
That character came from a brainstorming session over numerous pints of cider back in the dark ages.
Oh my gosh.
I've cleaned myself up since then.
The name remained.
The name remains.
I love that. And in terms of Captain Festus McBoyle,
yes.
What does he do?
Well, I'm part of a vaudeville musical comedy troupe. It's pretty much hitting bigger festivals and theatres these days. Very old school panto music hall in origins. Music transcends blues, pop, folk, shanties, original shanties. It's a bit Monty Python, Spike Milligan-ish as well, but Roald Dahl. Some of the lyrics are pretty dark, and I guess you could dare say it's a little bit Benny Hill at times. It's a little bit remotely smutty, but relatively PC and family friendly.
Relatively, that's the key word that I took out of that. Relatively, and in terms of your crew, you guys travel around the country,
yep,
delivering all this goodness.
Yeah, we've travelled all over New Zealand now, pretty much, moving from WOMAD to Splore to Auckland City Limits, Nelson Arts Festival. We went over to Melbourne a year ago, did 21 shows over there, Fun for Kids Festival.
Mm-hmm.
And we're currently looking at taking it further afield to the UK.
Ooh.
So plotting a plan, hopefully in May, to go to the UK. That's the plan.
Amazing.
So it's a big job, as you probably
plant
know.
That seed, it's going to grow.
Yeah.
You know?
Keep saying it's going to happen.
That's right.
Words of power.
I love that. So in terms of getting started, what was it about, I suppose, what is it about the vaudeville style or the variety, you know?
So how did I
get
into that?
Well,
I was always kind of really interested in theatre, but I never kind of moved in that circle. And I was more in playing in rock bands. That was always my thing. I was more geared towards glam rock and stuff like that. So always the costume was always there and the makeup was always part of the rock and roll thing for me anyway. So that was, it was basically, I guess, after 25 years, I kind of got tired of it. It was a bit boring. Get so far, it'd fall over. And I just thought, I've had enough of that. I'm going to move into theatre. And, basically this character was kind of put together, a costume was assembled, and I was thrown in the deep end, and I had my first gig. And my bluff was called. That was it. Yeah, I was sitting in a room full of kids, and I just had to get on with it.
Yeah.
And I've been doing that for 9 years now.
Just bluffing it.
Bluffing it, winging it.
Wow.
Flying by the seat of my pants.
Wow, that's like professional bluffer.
Well, yeah, I mean, it does come across that way, but I have to say there's a lot of seriousness. You know, there's definitely a lot of rehearsal and a lot of... It looks like it flies by the seat of its pants, but it definitely is... It's cleverly put together.
Well, yeah. behind the...
That's what he says anyway.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing right now. But you know what? Just talking to you before we went live on air, you sound like the kind of guy that has a lot of heart into, you know, your work as well as your manner of working. And I'm quite fascinated what... Like, okay, everyone, I just need to describe what Rich looks like right now. He is... Too cool for school, literally. Tattoos for days.
Yeah.
What are you...
They're all stick-on. Took me hours putting these on. I was just trying to impress you lot.
You know what? It's actually impressive if that actually is all stick-on.
I'll do my best. Yeah.
You know. What's that hat called, Jimishka?
What's that hat called?
Yeah, I want to describe
dead
it.
Dead man's clothing.
It's like a mix between...
Bring out your dead, leave their hats behind. Yeah, it's a little op shop.
You're very
ensemble.
Rock and roll.
Thank you.
You know what, Richard? You're very rock and roll, and I appreciate that.
Thank you.
And you're rocking what? A ukulele?
Well, I'm rocking a lot better than I used to. I mean, I've just had my hip replaced about a year ago, so
no
I'm more swaggering than rocking these days.
But swag is
good.
Yeah,
it's piratey.
Yeah.
I can live with that.
Swag is the new rock. No, it's not.
Well, some people would say I'm a cowboy, but you know,
ooh,
I'm just doing my thing,
it.
Really.
Hip replacement?
Hip replacement.
What happened?
I just wore it out from jumping around stages like I was pretending I was still 18. And really, I'm not.
Wow.
So I just wore it out. So I had it replaced and I'm back with a vengeance. So I'm bounding around stages a lot more comfortably than I was
Hopping higher.
Yes. Yes.
Amazing.
Not quite as wobbly.
Oh. Incredible.
More follow through.
I love that. Hey, Jamishka.
Hey, Marianne.
Hi. Tell everyone, I know who you are, but please indulge our audience. Please tell us who you are.
Where to begin? So my name is Jamishka, and I'm from South Africa, but I'm of Indian heritage. So that's like a new brand.
It's a lot of layers.
It's a lot of layers, definitely.
Nuance.
Onions. Nuance. Complex. And I guess my background is I'm a bit of a creative.
A bit? Come on, girl. Shoot higher than that.
Shoot higher, okay. My background is poetry, so I started off as a poet, and then I moved into theater and performance art, and now I'm writing my first full-length play, which is so exciting, thanks to Pat, of course, and Marianne. But I started off as like a freelance video maker and photographer and just like a production assistant person for theater gigs, and now I'm creating a theater thing, so that's exciting.
You're climbing up.
Yeah, better.
Expanding
my horizon.
That's right. I love that. I brought Jamishka in just so she can talk about how great I am. Really. That's what it sounds like, eh?
I'm your hype girl.
So, Pat, for those of you who don't know, Pat is short for Proudly Asian Theatre Company, and we are so honoured to have Jamishka Shetty on board to be a part of, you know, to include us in your journey of writing your first solo full-length play.
Yeah, it's scary, daunting, everything.
I'm so excited. Oh, it's called Spicy House.
Yes, it is.
It's, oh. Mm.
It's so flavorsome and full of...
Goddesses
and orgasms.
Yes.
And everything you don't want to
That's
hear.
Quite a combo, that, isn't it?
Yeah.
don't think you get that from a takeaway.
Not from that Spicy House on Dermot Road.
This is wearing your t-shirt, Burger and Fries.
Yeah, it's all about food. That's my aesthetic.
That's just your brand.
Yeah.
It's a pseudonym for the other.
Yeah. I love it.
An in-joke.
For any kids who are currently listening and wanting to ask what orgasms are, maybe just
That's not
ask,
the time.
Yeah.
That's later. That's
ask
later.
Your mum.
Ask a mature adult in your household.
Should
nicely.
I check about that? But anyways.
Hey, it's a word. It's a word. They're going to know about it someday. Soon, maybe.
Yeah.
How is it writing? Because I know you've been a creative. I know is, you know, quietly sliding there in the combo. Being a great poet, being a great, you know, poetic writer.
Oh, thank you.
I met you as in a producer capacity.
Yes.
Production. Yeah. But now you're jumping into... writing, you know, putting your own voice, essentially. How has that been? How was that beginning of that journey been for you?
Ooh, daunting and exciting all at the same time. But I think for me, it feels like the right time to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I've been looking at how other people do shows, and it's kind of triggered some fire within me to share my own story and my own perspective, primarily because I don't see a lot of the stuff that I think about on stage or on screen. So I'm quite like I guess you would say a feminist or an intersectional feminist, not to put labels on it, but that's the kind of stuff that I like to consume and read about and talk about because that's just my perspective. And so I see there's a big gap in that area on stage and in the arts. And so that's kind of pushed me to write my own stuff and write it in a way that is bold and that's something that I would like as an audience member because I don't see a lot of things that I really enjoy or relate to.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an exciting journey, but it's definitely been challenging to write something that's longer than 3 pages because my poems are usually quite short.
Longer than 3 pages. Yeah. I love how specific that is. What font? What style? What's the writing?
I try to go for Times New Roman because it's a little bit bigger.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yep.
Good
yep.
12, you know?
Good 12.
Doesn't look like you're trying too hard,
yep.
But it's
double spacing.
Work. That's right.
Yep.
Maybe 1.5. Any writers out there, they're
yeah.
your tips. Honestly, writing, that was, I think, one of the things I got really hung up on. And I would always ask Ahi Karunaharan, shout out to my friend. I would always be like, hi, so what font?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, the font can change the script from like 72 pages to like
50.
90.
Yeah.
so should I pick the smaller font? Like, is it, does it move the play along? And he's like, just write the damn thing.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
You're right. You're absolutely right. Why am I worried about the size and the font?
When, and the spacing. Yeah. When it's all about the content.
Content and what we're trying to say.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm really stoked that you are taking that leap for yourself.
Yeah.
I'm so, so excited because you're right. Like, there is a lot of spaces that still needs to be explored in terms of intersectional conversations that I think we're only just starting to really open up in.
Mm.
And I don't think even if people are talking about the same topic, I don't think any person can actually tell the story the same way.
Mm.
You know, everyone is always coming from a different
perspective,
yeah. Different, you know, age, different voice, different, you know, life experiences. So I'm always keen to see where it takes all of us.
Oh.
And team, you know what, the show is actually already booked out. So we're just here to talk about Humahi, but every single Fresh Off the Page monthly play reading has been the same, but we do encourage that you jump on that waiting list.
Mm.
Because, you know, there are chances. It's a free event, you know, people come, people don't. Free seats to be taken.
Yeah, so show up.
Sneak you in on, you know, cross-legged it on the floor maybe, see what happens. But jumping back to you, Richard, I'm curious, because you're in terms of the content of your show, do you do a lot of writing for the show?
Yeah, I mean, I basically write all the words for the songs.
Wow.
And I write a lot of the songs. I co-write with a couple of other people as well. Peter Toomey, chap I've known for a long time. He's been responsible for a few of them. Yeah, and a lot of my songs just seem to come in the shower, which is kind of quite bizarre. Just I'll just get an idea in a shower.
And that's really, like, melody. Great multitasking.
Oh, yeah. Every woman's dream.
Oh, that is great.
But,
you're, like,
so,
hygienic and creative.
And creative at the same time. Yeah, a hygienic creative.
That's genuinely my dream.
That is a dream. That is a dream.
That's my dream, man.
Because most of us, yeah, it tends to be a bit feral, you know, once I've met, anyway.
Yeah. But, well, my PT actually says...
I move in.
My PT actually says multitasking doesn't actually exist. Because, like, your brain can actually literally only focus on one thing at a time.
Oh.
Mainly because I struggle to breathe and, like, lift at the same time. And I'm just like, I'm running out of air, I'm going blue. And he's like, no, it's just because you're concentrating
on
different
things. Well, I can breathe, lift, and pass wind.
It's hard.
Three things.
Wow.
That's
intense. Really hard. And then sometimes you're like, oh, now my brain is thinking about my legs, so my legs are sore. But then after that, you're like, oh, my back is sore now.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that whole thing really fascinates me. Showering.
Has anyone had a sore back of late?
Me?
Yes.
Yeah, sore backs. Jeez, I've been getting sore backs lately. I teach drums as well. And I think just my core muscles are so useless that I just don't have, I'm not really sitting properly.
Mm.
I've been teaching a lot more drums with kids and terrible backaches. Jeez.
Is that because of the way you're sitting?
I think so.
I'm not
fat,
a drummer.
Lazy.
Tell me, how does a drummer sit?
Well, I mean, obviously not the way I sit. Otherwise, you'd have a bleeding sore back. But, yeah, I think the thing that saved me this week has probably been Voltaren. So I think I need to apply for
the
sponsorship.
Gel or the...
Oh, the little tablets.
Oh.
Been great. That's solved my back. But, yeah, it's probably not the most healthy way to cure a back.
No.
I probably just need to do some more sit-ups.
Or but, like a back brace.
Mm.
Possibly, yes.
I don't know where or how to use
big
that.
Big roll of gaffer tape. Stick it on. Hope for the best.
I love that.
Yeah.
Would you consider you're also a bit of a poet?
Yes, I am a poet.
Oh, I love that.
Yes,
the integrity.
More sort of cheeky ditties. It's kind of my thing.
Cheeky what?
Cheeky ditties. So, like, lots of rhyming stuff, but quite clever. Ditties.
Ditties. Can you elaborate on that word? That's a really fascinating.
It's bawdy English poetry.
Wow.
That's probably the best way to describe it.
I love it.
So, yeah, I do a bit of that. Yeah. I mean, I'm always writing. I mean, I've been started writing books of late. So I'm doing, wrote a book called Wally the Whale, which is the first book I've written. And about to start working on some others very soon. Because, I mean, a lot of my songs are stories. They're books in themselves, really. Obviously aiming for children. So they don't have to be 90 pages or whatever. It doesn't matter what
they're
font
not, they're
I
not
use.
Thesis.
You know, 10 pages I'm done, home and hosed, you know. That's pretty
that's
easy
the
stuff.
Max.
Yeah, but consequently, yeah, it means I've got probably about 45 songs, and most of which can be converted into books. So it's kind of an interesting avenue that I'm about to start exploring a bit more seriously now. Yeah, it's going to be quite fun.
I'm trying to look it up just because I'm fascinated.
Oh, you won't find the book. It's not released yet.
Oh.
No, sorry about that. But there is a song, Wally the Whale.
Oh, are you going to sing it for us?
No, probably not. But is it?
Don't tease us like that, Richard. Don't do that.
Yeah, well, it's the first book I've written anyway. But, yeah, so it's kind of chugging along nicely, and I'm about to start putting a bit more focus onto more of that now. But
well, you've got the material, you know.
I do.
Perform it, put it in a book, spread it far and wide.
Yeah, and then the other thing is you basically start looking at ukuleles being so huge at the moment.
I know.
I write a lot of my songs in ukuleles, so there's another untapped market. So.
I really want to learn how to play the guitar, and someone told me, why don't you start with a ukulele?
Ukulele's the best way to start.
Really?
I mean, I struggled with guitar for years. In the end, I gave up, to be honest, and I just found a ukulele. And I thoroughly enjoyed that. Mm-hmm. And actually, the week before last, I played at the New Zealand Ukulele Festival with about 2,000 kids, and it was all ages, everyone from, you know, 4, 5, right up to, you know,
70.
Old age pensioners playing ukulele all together. It was amazing.
That's awesome.
It was quite an amazing event. It was at the Trust Stadium in Waitakere. And, I have to say, it was an amazing day. As I said, 2,000 kids all playing ukulele, parading around with the ukuleles in the air, and all playing songs. It was incredible.
I'm going to have to get into this.
Yeah.
Well, you don't need much. No, they're totally cheap. Yeah. Pick up a cheap one for next to nothing. I mean,
because you can buy those like warehouse ones for like $20 for kids.
I don't know what they're like.
I don't know either. I mean, I wouldn't.
It gets you started.
Give me a cardboard and a real one, I probably wouldn't know how to use either. To be honest.
Well, you only need 3 chords for a song. That's all you need. You know, you don't need any more than that.
Are you being serious?
I'm serious. I mean, like, you're basically 3 to 4 chords tops. It's all you need.
I mean, I know of like 4 chord songs in like a guitar. My sister My sister's one of those. She's in Auckland at the moment, so I'm going to throw some shade. She's one of those people that just, like, puts on YouTube tutorial.
Oh.
And then the next day she's just a pro. And my dad's in the lounge going, yeah, sing for us, please, go.
Well, you know, when you get a ukulele, it usually comes with a little card and it has 3 chords on it. I think it's C, G and F. And I got my ukulele for Christmas. There was about 8 of us got a ukulele. We all got ukuleles and decided we were going to form a little ukulele band.
Oh, that is the cutest.
And it was hilarious because none of us could really play. But so 3 chords, and on Christmas Day I got my ukulele and it was like C, F and G, and I wrote a little song called The Hula Hula Lady. And I could play that one if you like.
Oh my, okay. Yep, I'm ready. Give us a tune.
And it's very simple. I did, at the ukulele festival, I did a what they call a workshop. So I workshopped a song. And I had no idea how it worked. And I just sort of went in and sat there on this little chair in front of about 50 people and winged it and did it. It was kind of good, but I mean, it's basically 3 chords, a C and an F and a G. Back to the C. The Hula Hula song.
Wow,
it's really
simple.
And it's very easy to learn. Guitar, I always found
there's more
so
than there's
practice
more chords.
Religiously.
Mm.
And it's more strings. And
it's big.
Yeah.
For but someone small like me.
Ukulele is like, just nice and simple.
Yeah.
So I'll play this one. It's really simple, you know.
Hula hula lady, hula's all the time. Hula by the river, I wanna make a mine. I play my ukulele, hula's also fine. Hula's for a dinner, hula's for a tea. Hula for beginners, teaches it for free.
I think my favourite part of that was also Jimushka's face in the end just going,
that was cool. I was like, it's so simple, but it's so beautiful.
It is.
People have said that about me before. He's simple, but he's beautiful.
Okay, ukulele.
I can live with that. You know?
I'll start with that.
I'll take
get
that.
Into it. Get into the ukulele vibe.
Hmm. Yeah. My sister was just like, yeah, tutorial. And then my dad buys like 3 different guitars.
I've got nothing but admiration for guitarists. Oh. I mean, it's an amazing thing. I mean, I'm very lucky.
I don't know if she still does it, but hey, I'll forever hold their grudge. I'm a dramatic person. I have a degree in literally being dramatic. Let me have it. Are you a musician, Jamishka?
No, I tried piano, and it didn't work out for me because I just got really frustrated with how, like, proper you have to be with it, and it's very mathematical. And I'm just like, I just want to go. Brup.
Yeah,
and it's not about
That's
me.
That's how I play, for sure.
Yeah. And it didn't work out, so I gave that up. But I started with a little thing called a recorder in primary school.
Oh, darling.
Yeah. Yeah. But I hated it too, so I gave that up. Because I also couldn't go, brap.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, I'm like a...
You're like an explosive kind of... You need... Drum lessons.
Drum lessons.
I think I would actually like drums.
Get your back brace.
Vent your frustration.
Ready.
Yeah, yeah.
With a back brace.
Yeah.
With a back brace. On a drum kit.
Yeah. I love that. But hey, not a musical instrument kind of person, no. But you do dance.
I do dance.
And
yes.
How do I know that?
Well, I heard you were dancing last night till the early hours of the morning.
Okay. Oh,
share more.
Richard.
Tell us your story.
Richard, one must dance in the clubs when one is in the clubs. One does not hold on to drinks when one is down in the clubs. That's not a show, guys. It's just me being silly. But hey, the reason I was segueing to that is my heart goes thaduk thaduk. It's Kew Theatre, yes. By Ahi Karunaharan, and you're part of the beautiful ensemble.
Yeah, part of the dance that comes on at the end, this big Bollywood epic dance number, awesome. Or Bollywood / Western, should we say.
It was so good.
Yeah. Did you enjoy it?
Did you not hear me enjoy it?
Yes, I did, actually.
When I was coming into the theatre, I was like, I'm going to shout your name, just you specifically, so you know it's me.
Yeah.
But it was like a Sunday night show because there's the only night I can go.
Yeah.
But it was a lot of, like, you know, older, normally Pākehā crowd.
Yeah, that's not as loud.
You know, just on a Sunday evening, you know, it's not... You know, ridiculously late.
Yeah.
But I was like 3 gin and tonics down. ready to support my friends.
Yeah. You know, I saw you in the audience and I was like, you go. You
I
cheer
know.
For us.
You know what? I was cheering for everyone else in the audience. I was like, you know, you're not getting the enough oomph.
Experience.
Full... I was clapping along. I think I was off time for most of it.
That's all right. I think our feet were off time as well.
But it was just so good. It was just so nice seeing just a different landscape on stage, on such a big main stage space.
I agree. And I keep telling people it's almost like this historical moment for us because...
Monumental.
So monumental. It's a show created by South Asian, for South Asians, but it's not so... explicitly telling people that it's about representation. It's just a beautiful story with amazing characters, and it's like a mesh of West and East, and that's never been done before. And it's in a mainstream space in Kew Theatre, so to see garlands in the Kew bar and to see like a saloon on the theatre with Bollywood posters, like that's just never been done before, and that's so exciting to see.
And there was no like... There was never a moment for me going into the theatre of, like, questioning the lifestyle that I was about to see. Mm. It was just, like, that was a story, and they're talking about this, like, merge of the change in time and space as well as in culture because of the way film was moving. But it was, like, watching film on stage.
Mm. Yeah.
It was so good. It was so good with live music.
Yeah.
It was wonderful. Where are they? From Whangarei or something like that?
Yeah, I think so.
It was
the
so
duo.
Good.
Yeah, they were so funny as well.
They were awesome. Like everything about it. The set was beautiful. Who was the set designer?
I'm not sure. Set designer was. I know.
I'll get back to you guys on that because I will find the info. But it's beautiful. Ahi Karunaharan. I know you'll be listening.
Shout out.
A beautiful human. Great mind. Great mind.
Yeah.
But yeah, I definitely sounded like the drunk heckler.
But we loved it. We enjoyed that.
Every crowd needs one.
Every, yes.
I was heckling in a positive way, you know?
Yeah.
What's wrong with a positive heckle?
But it sounds negative because I was the only one doing it. Even my boyfriend who was sat next to me was just like, well, I'm like, what? I was like, someone's got to do it. And also, I'm not going to spoil it actually for people. Just go and say it. You get involved at one point, and I enjoyed it.
Too much.
It wasn't the drink. It was the show that was great. We're going to play a song for you guys. This is on Spotify, Bubbles and Squeak.
That's the name of the album.
Yes. And we are going to listen to
Jack. Very proud
Jack,
of that one.
As you should be.
There's a lot of work in there.
I have a question. So we're going to play the song Jack Spratch.
Yes. It is a beat poem. It's a beat poem. And it's the third single from the album.
Mm-hmm.
Came out November 11th.
Mm-hmm.
And the video that accompanies that is it's a collage animation, which was animated by Guy Kappa, who did Robert and Sheepy with Jermaine Clements. And it was directed by Larissa Loughley. And, the song was written by myself and a chap called Peter Toomey. And, it's a good year's work in the video. And it's amazing. It's only been out since the 11th, and we're up to 7,000 views on YouTube, which is pretty incredible.
That's impressive.
Amazing. Yeah. That's 3 weeks.
Just going to pick up my jaw on the floor.
Which is, me too.
How?
I don't question it. I just ride the wave.
Yeah. Don't pull the threads. Don't pull the threads.
It's good.
All right.
The song is a beat poem, and it's a clever little story about a crooked-eyed cat called Jack Spratt, and very Monty Python-esque in the video itself. So I do suggest you check that out.
Amazing.
Go to the website, captainfestus.com, and that video will come up first on the website.
It features. And now let's have a listen to it.
Please do.
Brat was a crooked-eyed cat, and out in the sun on his chair he was sat. He was big, black and furry, covered in fleas, long in the tooth and with four dodgy knees. Not built for speed, more of a thinker, bagging his youth, a notorious drinker. Now old Jack Spratt, he knew where it was at, and whilst out in the sun on his chair he was sat, he was making a plan in between all the snoring. And old Jack Spratt, well, he was ever boring. He was dreaming of rats in a frying pan, making a deal with a milkman to stand for free to the roof of a two-story house. Whilst nibbling the meat from the bones of a deep-fried mouse. How's he doing? His chair sits next to the washing line. Knickers and socks all dusted and clean. Goodness me, sir, oh, what a dream. Look at him go, snoring away, not a care in the world. Well, hang on. No. It's the old bulldog.
Wow, soy love. I love that. I was just saying that was probably, whenever we go on a music break, I normally just, you know, it's in the background and it's soothing, it's nice, or, you know, it's a good upbeat, supporting vibe.
Mm.
But that is like a stop what you're doing and...
Thank you.
Feel that beat.
Yeah, it was really nice to listen to it. I haven't listened to it for a while. It's nice to get it out there. I mean, the video was a year's worth of work. And it was it was a huge exercise in patience, and it tested a lot of friendships. It was a lot of work to get it finished.
Mm-hmm.
But we're very lucky. We had we've got Jacinda Ardern in there doing a cameo. We've got Chris Knox. He plays a milkman. And his milk van is called Soy Love Mosh Pit Milk. And we've got, who else have we got in there? Nice One Stu, probably a bit before your time. And the Wizard of New Zealand, he's in there.
The Wizard of New Zealand?
Yes, the Wizard of Christchurch, now officially of New Zealand. So he's in there as well. It's loaded with some great cameos. We've got Johnny Rotten in there, Joey Ramone, Susie and the Banshees, Susie Sue. One of my favourite comedians, Tommy Cooper, way before your time. Yeah, so there's some great cameos in there, and... Yeah, it's we're all really proud to get it out there and get it be seen. So to get those amount of views in that first few weeks is, yeah, it's bleeding amazing. It's good. Feels good.
I can see you're leaping inside, but you're really contained right now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's nice. I mean, well, as you know, we're all really passionate about the art that we do, and it's nice to see it through and get it finished and get it out there. And, yeah, that's why we do it. It's certainly not about the money. Oh. I mean, it's, you know, I could easily have a full-time job and be a lot more financially secure than I am. Mm. There's no guarantees of what I do, but I'm doing what I want to do, and I'm sure you're the same. You're doing what you love doing.
Absolutely.
And that's the path we've chosen, and I don't have a plan B. Mm. I'm just doing what I do, and I'm sure you guys are probably exactly the same.
I actually, funny you brought that up. Someone asked me quite recently, how do you do what you do? Like, or how do you do as much as you do? Mm. And I was like, I don't know what else to do.
Yeah.
No. You just keep going.
Yeah. And I, you know.
I don't think about it.
No, I just don't. Do it. But what about you?
Yeah.
What's your process? Like,
a lot of anxiety.
Yeah.
No.
But you know what? It's actually been, in terms of anxiety has been a big part of, I suppose, like my creative journey of knowing, of building the courage to be like, no, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I can do that. Or, should I? Do I have to? You know?
Yeah.
Because I think that's been a lot of just following your gut instinct, I think, has been my main power.
Yeah, and the older you get, I think the more in tune with yourself you become, and you don't listen to what other people tell you to do. So you're just like, oh, someone doesn't agree with what I want to do, I'm just going to do it anyways, right?
Yeah. If you don't like the way I'm doing it, you do it your way.
Exactly.
In your own time.
Yeah. I'm happy. That's all that matters.
Yeah. Amazing. I do want to ask, Tadak, how has it been going? We didn't actually go into it.
No, we didn't. It's been really fun. We were rehearsing for about 2 or 3 weeks before the actual show with our dance number. And obviously the cast and stuff were rehearsing on a much bigger scale, but it's been so fun to just pop in at the end of the show for us and give everyone this little sprinkle of magic at the end of the show that Tadak Tadak is, and dancing with all the people from Prayas and all the different companies has been just like a dream. And we just chill in the green room, and then once we're ready to go dance, we just tap, tap, tap away.
You like hanging out. You tadak tadak away.
We tadak.
I was talking to someone, and I was like, you should totally go and see the show. Like, if you want to, you know, see more of us on stage, go support it so we see it more often. And then I mentioned the title, and it was like, oh, that's actually whenever my parents would describe a sound, they'd always would say tadak tadak.
Yeah, that's true.
Is it true?
Yeah,
it's
it
like
is.
Heartbeat, the horse
galloping, yeah.
But like loud noises is also tadak tadak.
Tadak tadak, yeah. It's a beautiful title, I think. My heart goes tadak tadak.
Yeah.
And so poetic. And there's that line in the play which Rashmi's character explains, which is so cool. But what I've loved is seeing like the marketing everywhere. Isn't that just so cool?
I told when I was on, we were on our way to go to the theater.
Mm.
I told my boyfriend, I was like, oh, we're going, he went and got a haircut, and then I was like, we're going to go to the show, you know, we're going to look mighty fine, you know, we're going to theatre, we're going to see my friends, we're going to look so good.
Got impressed.
Yeah, I was like, I don't normally dress up, but I was like, no, we've got to dress up for these guys. And then right outside of the haircut place was the freaking poster. And I was like, babe, that's what we're going to see. But I don't know if I was just stoked that it was all the way in the middle of New Lynn.
Yeah, and it's like your friends.
Yeah. And like in just an unlikely spot.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's my beautiful brown friends on a massive poster. And I'm like, I never imagined.
I know, how cool it is.
So cool. So I'm so happy. And that giant poster of Sean. Sean Kisha, you beautiful man. Shout out to you.
Yeah, he deserves it. He really deserves it.
Go and see the show. You see his guns, and I'm very impressed.
Yeah, and you see dancing and guns.
Like, yep.
And things falling apart.
People falling apart. And tumbleweed.
Yeah.
Sounds like my body.
Yeah.
I'm already strapped up with gaffer tape.
Yeah.
I've had my hip replaced.
Oh, you're a show on its own.
I'm hanging on for dear life.
You should go see the show. You'll relate to it.
Yeah. Well,
I love it.
How do you say it's all sold out?
No. My Heart Goes to Duck the Duck is sold out. No, it's not sold out.
It's not. Fresh. Thank goodness.
Fresh off the page, Jamishka's play reading is sold out. We're talking about two different things.
Wow. Yeah. Hope people understand.
There's so much going on.
Jamishka's got her fingers in two different pies right now.
Yeah, I'm dancing and I'm writing. Oh,
goodness me.
What else do you not do? What's going on? Are you a bit of a dancer too, Richard?
Only behind closed doors.
Mm.
Yeah.
For exclusive?
Only for the family.
Okay.
I'm very good at doing silly dances around the house. Me and my daughter, we boogie around and do crazy dances all the time.
As long as, you know, it happens.
Get it
out of your
system. Very interesting songs, and usually in our underpants.
Great. So comfort.
Free dance.
That's what freestyle should be.
In your underpants?
Yeah.
Only.
As free as you want to be.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's called freestyle.
Yeah.
Yeah. My daughter and I, we have very different styles. Mine's very old school.
But they're both free.
I'm a little bit more stiff in the way I move. She's very flowing.
Could be more pop and lock, you know. More of a pop and lock kind of dude.
And flashing. Stop it.
Amazing.
Yeah, no, it's probably not a very nice thing to watch when I shake my booty, but I do enjoy it. Yes.
Good.
To answer that question.
I know Jamishka does, so you know. Mm. See it on stage.
Yes.
I love Bollywood dance.
Yeah, it's grand. It's very grand and epic. A lot of dance moves.
No way I could do it, but I appreciate it.
I didn't think so either, and then I learnt the choreography, and then I was like, oh, maybe I can do it.
It looks really athletic.
It is. It's very cardio-centric.
Yeah. It's like Zumba on steroids.
It is.
Well, that's it. That's me out straight away.
So now you can dance because I can dance Zumba, and so you can dance that.
But something I also quite find fascinating when I was reflecting after the show is that I probably only watched a handful of Bollywood films, and there are those big dance numbers either in the middle of a conflict or the big dramatic romantic reveal.
Yes,
but especially at the end when everyone's like, "Oh my gosh,
celebration,
the hero!"
Yeah,
and but then if you think about it, going to Papa Globe, there's always a big dance in the end.
That's true. So it's everywhere,
and I think the beautiful thing about it is really captures this style and the essence of the people in the show. And guys,
yeah, it's a beautiful way to celebrate story, right? It's fun, and it's for audiences, and it's got a bit of song, a bit of dance.
Sounds good.
But does that mean? Here we go. Let's get trivial. Does that mean if the style of the show or the tradition is that there's that big celebratory moment in the end, does that mean it has to have a good ending?
Oh, good question. Does it have to have a good ending? Yes, it does. Because there has to be a reason to celebrate.
That's right. So does that mean, is that just a completely different genre then?
Yeah, because you do get Bollywood, which is what most people know is the song and dance kind of film. And then you get Tollywood, and then you get more indie films, and you get that have no singing and no dancing, that are just independent theater or independent movies of the West. So that is just a mainstream trope, Bollywood, but there's so many other nuances and films in Indian cinema that is so beautiful and different and nuanced. That Bollywood is just, I think, the biggest export because it's so fun and light and easy to ingest.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so many different beautiful cinema of India and South Asia that I love. Like Tollywood, South Indian is really, really good. Yeah, South Indian is, get on that.
Do you think they, because I know that sometimes randomly Rialto or... what is that cinema in town? Is that the one I'm talking about? But other independent cinemas that would show films. I know that they did a Filipino film recently. A selected days of showings. Do they do the same for Bollywood films or indie,
indie Indian films? Yeah, they have this film called, I think it's The Photograph, which is an independent Indian film, and it's in festivals and stuff. I'm not sure where exactly it's playing, but I know it's playing in independent cinemas.
It's accessible here.
Yes.
Great.
And then there was another one called The Lunchbox a few years ago. Have you seen it?
I've heard of it. I've heard good things about it.
So you can go watch different, you know, types of movies.
Educate yourself.
Yeah, not just the song and the dance and the...
Exactly. Not just the stereotype of what it is, what it could be.
Yeah.
I love that. I think that's such a great... It's just too good. It's just a good way to also get away from the denseness of the world sometimes.
Yeah.
Which makes me think, like, I would love, honestly, I would have loved to see your show, Richard, go, like, through to my high school and do all of that stuff. Because, like, you know, when you're talking about beats and, you know, rhyming, that's the stuff I definitely found hard while I was studying. Is that something that you guys have done in the past?
We have done a few trips through schools as well as libraries, but these days we're more aiming for we're generally playing bigger festivals and
so theaters. We've gone big.
So well, I mean, we're a 3-piece troupe. It takes us an hour and a half to get ready, and basically it's a theatre show. We're at that point where we can't really, and this is the hard part, as you probably know. I'd be playing every day of the week and as much as I possibly could, for as long as I could. That's me. But realistically, financially, I can't take a 3-piece troupe into a small little community festival and perform for a couple $100. I can't do that. I work with contractors. So we're having to be very picky about what we choose for it to be financially viable. And that's a fine line because, as I said, I'd be playing every day if I could. Mm. I'd love to do it because it's what I love doing. It's when I feel alive.
But have family.
I have to be careful. Yeah, I've got to pay bills and I have to pay contractors. And so, yeah, I have to be quite business-minded and making that decision, will I do it or will I not do it, as you were saying earlier. Mm. It's a hard decision because you want to do it.
Yeah.
But you just can't.
Adult life, eh?
Yeah, well,
responsibilities.
Adult life. Yes. I mean, but we've got some great stuff coming up. We've got booked in the Taupo Winter Festival, and there's a Queen's Birthday Wellington Music Festival we're booked into next year. That's in May, June. Taupo one's in July. We're off to Palmerston North for a big Esplanade Day, which is a whole family day for the whole day. Mm-hmm. So we've got that coming up in February. We're off to Picton Maritime Festival in January. So we're aiming for the bigger ones and starting to headline these events now, which is great.
I love it. And is this all accessible through your website?
Yes, yeah. Just captainfestus.com. We've got a very extensive past events section as well as all our current stuff. Yeah. There's showreel videos.
Some great videos in there. How do we look?
Yeah, we're starting to... there's been a few in there we've kind of self-funded. And, I mean, making a video is not cheap.
You know?
When you're doing them yourself, it's trying to do them on a shoestring and utilising as many favours from your mates as you possibly can.
What's your budget?
You exhaust those favours after a while and you've got to start paying people what they're worth. Yeah. So fortunately, New Zealand On Air have started funding family music.
Yay!
The last 2 years. So we were lucky enough to get a $10,000 grant in 2018, and that paid for most of the album and 3 videos, which is unheard of because we did it on such a tight budget, but we did it. And then this year we've got another $10,000 video grant to make 2 videos and 2 singles. So with that funding, we're able to do a lot more and actually pay our friends, you know, instead of keep bludging favours. Because you can't keep doing that. And we've pushed the limits with our polling favours. So it's nice to be able to pay people now a bit more like what they're worth.
Absolutely.
And produce something that's, it's great quality.
Because if you can make good content without their budget, you know, like, and you present that to the funding bodies and you're like, look, this is what we can make with just the community. And can you imagine how much better it would be if you invested on us?
Yeah, well, I mean, we were with the first grant. I mean, we produced an album for, I think it was about $3,500. No, all up with mastering, it was about five grand. And then we spent $5,000. Which we did two videos with that, 2.5 per video, which is dirt cheap. And the third video, we kind of got halfway through it. We ran out of the fund. I had to fund that myself. And when I was sent to New Zealand Air, I'm struggling to get this third one done. They said, look, you've so over-delivered with an album and 2 videos on 10 grand. Just don't worry.
Wow.
And it was really nice to hear. But we finished it anyway. We did it. We managed to get it, see it through, and still put their logo on it because, you know, they supported us from the start. So, yeah, I mean, it's amazing what you can do, but it's also really nice to know that your genre is finally starting to be supported.
Absolutely.
Because, I mean, family music is still very, very new in terms of being supported by funding and and the likes. It's only just starting to be, I guess, recognised and seen for the worth that it offers and the importance of it. I mean, it's a very interesting genre, and there's a lot of good performers in this country that do family music, all at different levels. Preschool, some are more 5 to 12, you know, so we're all doing different target markets within that family market. But, it's lovely that we are now starting to get funding. Mm-hmm. It's coming a long way, and it keeps getting better. So.
Starting to get funding.
Mm. Yeah, it's a big breakthrough.
Yeah, you know,
it changes
absolutely.
Everything. It changes everything.
That makes me really, really happy. And in the sense that, you know, getting that extra leap of trust to be like, yeah, your work is validated. And talking to that, having friends do favors for you, also being on the other end of that, of being the friend, you know, delivering the favors.
Yeah, well, it's always give and take. You try and help each other as much as you
absolutely.
Can.
Absolutely. But it is such a good feeling when you're like, hey, mate, I've got money for you.
Yeah.
Because your work is good.
Yeah.
And you being that friend, I'm like, oh, my gosh. I'm so glad that connection actually blossomed and we can continue doing this thing.
Yeah.
I'm sure you, Jamishka's like, yes.
Funding, what is that like?
How do we get that?
Good, yeah.
I don't know, but it just popped into my head, but I really want to give a really massive shout out to, I just typed it up earlier, Conversations with My Immigrant Parents. It's a podcast, an RNZ podcast series that launched yesterday. That I think, you know, they've got this amazing opportunity to converse with people from different walks of life, concentrating on the migrant community. And I just want to give you guys a massive shout out for your mahi. And I am so stoked and so excited to be listening to your podcast. I've got an Instagram, everyone. It's the handle is Convos with My, and it's this beautiful yellow cartoon image of Sarade and Julie Zoo, and it's amazing. Read the content, some amazing photos, and if you have the chance, go to the Basement Theatre, and they've hung some of their beautiful images and with the little captions. And yeah, you just get to see more things and see more of the community of the city you're actually living in.
Mm.
And I think that's always a really beautiful thing to be a part of and be really engaged with. We're just going to go on a quick music break. This one is called Pinata Head by There's a Tuesday. Again, this is a wonderful recommendation by the beautiful Georgia Parker from Rockwest. And yeah, just give yourself a wee listen, and we'll be back very soon. Here we go.
Welcome to my birthday party, my friend. I wonder if it makes you happy to be here. That's just what I'm thinking. That's just what I'm thinking as I watch you walk around. That's just how I'm feeling. Why is your party head on the ground? Dust in my room. Now I'm overthinking. 'Cause maybe you're having a really good time. Now I'm overthinking. Nothing in my pity out of mind. Oh my God, I think you've done it again. Oh my God, you find in my oh my God, I
for you to take everything. Think you've done.
Full recommendation. Thank you, Georgia. Oh, my microphone. Creak, creak. Okay. I have a really, I don't know, it's just, I'm just fascinated. If you weren't doing what you're doing now, I'm going to say this very slowly so you guys can mull it over. What else would you wish, like, you know, what do you think you could be doing, or what would you want to be doing with your time if you can't be an amazing vaudeville creator, performer, artist, or a creative? Because there's too many branches. Some creative. What do you reckon you would love to do with your time?
I'll go.
Some beautiful
first.
Beard stroking. Yeah. Here.
Do you have an answer, Richard?
I'll listen to yours first.
I'll just do the first thing that comes to my mind, which is journalism. I think I always wanted to just interview people, and I'm so curious about the world and different stories. So if I weren't being creative, I would want to pursue journalism and, yeah, just put other people's stories out there, which in a weird way is something.
It's still creative.
Yeah. So I don't know if that counts.
But just a different angle.
Different angle. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because I grew up with Oprah, and so she always, like, inspired me in how she impacted people with giving platforms to other audiences. So I think I would try that, but I don't know if I would be successful.
Hey, you don't know yet, because you haven't actually tried.
True.
I reckon you could do it. We should have flipped this table. I didn't know you wanted to interview. Let's go. What about you, Richard?
Well, I'm a bit longer in the tooth than you guys. So, I mean, I've been around a bit longer. Getting on. You know, and so I mean, I've done a lot of things over my time. I've had a shop in High Street called Manic for years. I've clothing design, screen print. I've also been a full time screen printer, a printer, photolithographer, which is page assembly before computers.
Wow.
I've worked to special needs, music and drama.
Cool.
I teach kids drums. I've dabbled in a lot of different areas already. So this is kind of like my last hurrah, really. I decided that 9 years ago that's it, I'm doing this, and there isn't anything else, and this is what I'm going to do. So for me,
you are doing therapy. What you want to be doing.
Music, singing, playing is therapy for me. If I'm not doing it, I'm not very happy. So this is what I strive to do in order to keep happy. I'm much more fun to be around when I'm happy. My partner will vouch for that, and my daughter as well. So this is pretty much, there's no other option for me. I'm just
like
going to keep doing this and, till I fall over.
Till you fall over. That is so admirable to have been around, and that is a good point. I think this is why intergenerational conversations is also really, really, really important, because there are so many things that, you know, new ideas, new voices, but then there's also people like yourself, Richard, who have done different strands of adventures.
Yeah, well, I mean, I admire you guys. I mean, how old are you guys?
I'm 27.
Ask a woman their age.
Yeah.
27?
Yeah.
How old are you?
24.
24. I mean, you're spring chickens. I'm 53.
I'm a chicken.
You know, it's like, so, I mean, I admire you guys because you're doing it now.
Wait. I must say, you're what?
I'm 53.
You're 53?
I could not have guessed.
So I'm 54, like, in February.
30.
But I mean,
When you told me you had a hip replacement, I was like, oh, okay, he fell over, something happened.
No, I just...
53?
Yeah, but I mean, you guys are doing it now. You're so young. I mean, it's like, that's awesome. I didn't start doing music till I was 20. You know, I just didn't move in those circles. I didn't move in those circles at all. It was very mainstream, you know, engaged at 20, buying a house and then thinking about kids. It's like, what am I doing? I'm this mad artist. You know, I can't go down that road.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't start till I was 20, and I, you know, that's how it came about for me. And it was always music, bands, and that was the thing, the theatres. I didn't start theatre till I was like 40-something. So, I mean, but it's, you know, so you guys are doing it now. I mean, it took me all that time to get here to do this and just to keep going.
But you're never too late, clearly, to start new things.
No. I mean, that's the same for everybody. It's never too late to start anything. There's you talking about ukulele. There's, you know, it's...
Richard, inspirational.
It's just one life, man. One life. Live it full. I mean...
I can listen to you all day, Richard.
Hey, you've got me on a good day. Manic by name and nature. I'm on a high today.
Oh my gosh.
Who knows?
Anyway. I honestly thought you were like around 30.
Oh, thank you.
I'm not just pulling your leg.
You need glasses, but yes, thank you.
I do wear glasses, actually.
There you go.
I have 20/20 vision, just not when I'm tired.
You have zero grey hair.
It's called hair dye.
Oh.
It's amazing.
But wrinkles aren't a thing. You've got like the happy crow, you know, but everyone's got that.
Oh yeah. It's good to see.
I'm not that far from you either. And I do have very young eyesight.
Good.
So,
I'll take that as a compliment. Thank you very much. Yeah, you know, it's art keeps you young.
I do have another question.
Yes, sir.
How many tattoos do you have right now?
Only one. Just a big one.
Is that all just one?
No, it's just a joke.
Oh,
I also had a...
I don't know tattoo language.
Another part of my journey was part of the time we had a tattoo studio called Attire Tattoo, and we had some really good artists coming through. So I worked in a tattoo industry for a while. I was doing a bit of skin stretching with chisel work.
Skin stretching?
Well, one person stretches while the other chisels, you know, the tapping.
Old school.
Yeah. So I was in that industry for a little while, so I got a lot of my stuff then. But I never got any tattoos till I was 25. I started everything late.
Good on you.
Yeah, most things.
I hope my parents aren't listening, but I would like to get a tattoo one day.
You should. Well, you're never too late.
I think we are officially the most tattooed nation in the world.
New Zealand?
Yes.
Oh.
It's just so common. There's more people tattooed than not tattooed these days.
Well, I feel like it's quite a big part of...
I work in schools like this, and I've never had a problem. Yeah, I mean, my daughter sits home and colours them in. You know, she
love that.
She colours them in different colours.
Human colouring.
Dad, can I colour you in? Yeah, all right. Go on in.
I colour your
spiders. Okay. Can I do them pink? Yeah, all right.
I love that.
And my partner's quite heavily tattooed as well. She's more red ink. So lots of Māori, and she has Icelandic stuff through here, through her chest. And yeah, beautiful tattoos. I mean, tattoos are beautiful.
Mm. You know? Yeah. You know what? The only reason I think I even got around to thinking about getting a tattoo was because going back to, you know, doing research and like my Indigenous background, tattoo is very big. Very, very big in the Philippines.
Mm. Mm.
And I totally, just because, you know, like Western media just totally like squashed all of that down, that I'm like, you know, tattoo's not proper. You know, you don't get jobs when you've got tattoos. You know, there's all these stigma around all of those features. But I'm like, man, these tattooed people are beautiful. They're like walking.
Well, it doesn't change who you are.
Exactly. But, you know, you're like walking artwork. That will forever change. You know, like, I'm going to get it. I think I'll wait, though.
No,
just because.
Yeah, choose carefully. I mean, there's a lot of bad things out there, too.
I'm a Leo. I'm very decisive, but I'm also not decisive.
Yeah, same. I'm a Leo, too, and I don't think I've not gotten a tattoo because I can't decide on what to get.
Once you get one, it's very addictive.
That's what I hear.
And then as you get more, it kind of changes. It doesn't have to mean something. It can just be something that's a bit silly or a bit funny, self-mockery to a degree, but in a positive way. You know, it's just,
I've got a few things in my mind, but, and they're the ones I keep coming back to. So I'm like, maybe they are the right ones because they're the ones I keep coming back to, but. Mm. I'll need to find like a good sketch. If anyone's listening,
and an artist,
sketch me a tat,
sketch
and then hook me up with some good tat artists.
Just get no regrets.
Yeah, and I'll, you know, I'll pay you.
No regrets.
Regrets, yeah. That's the one.
I'll pay you with exposure.
Hey.
I have a bank load of that.
Exposure payment. Oh, my gosh. Hit me up.
Oh, am I crying? I'm not crying.
Get you a tattoo that is a tear.
Yeah. Or also, is it like needles?
Yeah, I've had a lot done by gun, but I've also had some chisel work done with the tapping, the bone tapping sort of chisel work.
Big are the needles and the guns?
The difference, they come in clusters, so there's a single needle, there could be a group of three or five needles, it's like clusters.
How far?
I don't know enough about it to be that accurate, but I think I had a... The spider web was done with a complete shader, so it was about 25 needles. It was just completely done with shading rather than with actual single needle. Yeah, I don't know that. I don't know enough about it to be totally accurate. But
fair.
Yeah.
But I know nothing either, so you just
find a good one. That's all you need to really do.
I'm just... the reason I ask is I'm terrified of needles. Oh. So I think that is mainly why I haven't quite taken that step forward.
Yeah.
You know?
So it hurts more in different places. Depends where you're having it done, you know? Yeah.
I've got a lot to think about now, Richard. Ukulele and tattoos.
There you go.
That's good to know. Really, really good to know. I have been itching to ask you about this next music, Richard.
Yes.
Oh, my brain just kind of had a spasm just then. Fat Belly Bum Song.
Yes.
You pointed that out, and I'm obsessed, and I haven't even heard it.
Well, it always makes me laugh because it's I mean, it's a song about fat people, and I have no, you know, I'm not at all judgmental at all. It's a funny song. It's a country song, and it just jokes about being, I guess, a little bit about being overweight,
mm-hmm.
but without being judgmental or without, you know, I don't have an opinion on it.
Just the fact that
I think it's a little bit un-PC, and the beautiful thing was it made a kids' album and was taken into schools, which I think was fantastic. That's the pirate in me. I like the fact that it's just a bit wrong, but I kind of like the fact that it was kind of accepted and it had to be played. That's my humour, you know. I like to push boundaries.
Mm.
So, yeah, it's a funny song. It's a country song, and it is just a humorous look at being slightly overweight.
And I think that is a really good conversation to have with kids anyway, that, you know, that, you know what, again, like tattoo, it doesn't actually change who you are.
No, exactly.
You know, you're curvy, you're not, you're slim, you're stumpy, you are still cool.
Exactly.
I'm just talking about my own traumas there, guys, but hey.
I was fat when I was a kid.
Hey.
You know, I copped it all, so I mean, play the song. Speaks for itself.
All right, guys.
It's so much fun when you've got a fat bum and your belly hangs down to your knees. Say no more.
Belly bum song. Here we go, team.
Now, there's been some talk about me carrying a few extra pounds round the middle. And I guess it's true. That could explain why me hip's given out. There you go. Food for thought. Oh, that's nice. You can play. You ain't lying. Well, there's no getting thinner when you're living on a dinner of pies and grease and fats. Cos you get a pot of belly and your farts are really smelly when sausages are where it's at. A whole roast of beef means nothing but grief if there's vegetables upon your plate. So you reach for the chocolate cake, my friend, and pretend that your spots look great. Oh, it's so much fun when you got fat bum and your belly hangs down to your knees.
To your knees!
For the chocolate cake, my friend, shovel it in with ease.
Yeehaw!
At the back of the cupboard, you'll find Mr. Hubbard, who'll pass you the peanut butter.
Why,
and spoon, by the light of the moon, you'll consume till you fall in the gutter. After bacon and cheese, you'll collapse to your knees and fall in pain on your back. Then you reach for the chocolate cake, my friend, and wait for the heart attack.
Oh,
oh, it's so much fun when you got a fat. Your belly hangs down to your knees. You reach for the chocolate cake, my friend, and shovel it in with ease. There'll be no airs or grace for your red pimply face. as they lower your body to the earth. They'll dig for a week, a day for each cheek, and five to accommodate your girth. Oh, it's so much fun when you got that bum and your belly hangs out to your knees. You reach for the chocolate cake, my friend, and shovel it in with ease. Oh, it's so much fun when you got that bum and your belly hangs down to your knees. You reach for the chocolate cake, my friend, and shovel it in with ease. Ooh, pardon me.
Pardon me. You are pardoned, Richard.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's quirky. It's fun, and it's just storytelling in literally 3 minutes or less.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, it's nothing to be taken too seriously. You've got to have a giggle about things. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you can't laugh, what can you do? You know, it's like
sad world otherwise.
Yeah, it's just good to have fun, mm-hmm. and that's the way it's intended. Hopefully, that's the way it's received.
That's how I'm receiving it. So far, so good.
Thank you.
All right, let's rejig our memories back to, what was that? Jamishka just had a moment. Jamishka Shetty, Spicy House, give us, yes. What is it about?
Well, it is a full-on story about three different generations of women. So a grandmother, a mother, and a daughter. And it basically just follows their perspectives and things come alive, things are spoken to that shouldn't probably be spoken about or to, and it follows the young girl Anjali's journey and how she sees herself in the mirror. And towards the end of the play, things shift because what she grew up seeing and observing is now changed from what secrets have been revealed to her by her mother and her grandmother. So, it's not all serious. There are some funny moments in there that happens to these women, but it's just a story about women. And I was inspired by all the women in my family and all the women that I know. So that's what helped me put pen to paper. And I just wanted to do something for women. And especially this year, seeing the gender-based violence that has been happening around and all the protests that have been happening, South Africa, Spain, France. I just checked Facebook just before I came, and there was another woman who was raped and burned in India. And so those things really affect my heart, and I want to critique and comment on the rape culture that exists in the media because it doesn't directly affect, you know, those incidences, but it's something that we need to keep talking about. And if women are not given the correct voice and representation and for always considered as sexual objects, then nothing will change, and it needs to change. Mm-hmm. So that's what Spicy House is about.
So full. I don't do well with spices normally. It's a big cast.
Yes.
I'm involved as the creative producer of the play reading, the first ever play reading of this draft. So essentially, for those of you who are listening that doesn't know what Fresh Off the Page is, Fresh Off the Page is a monthly play reading that occurs at the Basement Theatre, produced by Proudly Asian Theatre Company. And it is a space to allow Asian creatives develop, emerge, and upskill in the narrative that they choose to create. And it's been an absolute pleasure just watching. We've had 9 other fresh, emerging, and experienced writers go through this entire year. And Jamishka is our amazing finale for 2019, and it's gonna be a bang, man. It's gonna be wicked end. And I think one of our main goals is that we were never looking for polished final scripts. We are just more excited and eager to just allow people to have the support, to have the mentorship, to have the the knowledge that there is a group and a community that are looking forward to the mahi that is produced and created in the space of 6 months or a year, because you're the final one in the year. You know, we had people who started in Feb who were further along in the writing process, but there were people that started this program literally from an idea, a single idea that they wrote into a synopsis of what they want to write. And a lot of the time, it's like, I don't actually really know what this is yet. But you get given a deadline, you get given a team, you get given the support. And honestly, it's like watering a plant. It will grow with the sunshine, with the rain and the storm. And it's just a matter of, on my end, I've just literally been checking in. How are you, friend? And now it's happening.
I know.
December 11th.
That's right.
How are you feeling?
I'm nervous and excited. And I'm just keen to see it come alive, because at the moment it's all been in my head. So when the actors read it out loud, I think I'm just, I don't know, going to be so overwhelmed. And
that's the trippy part.
Is it?
It's so trippy.
Yeah. I can't wait.
Yeah. It's like, it's like all of the fears and monsters and like princesses and, you know, stars in your brain. And suddenly people are putting it into action.
I know.
And then audiences are reacting.
Yeah.
And you're like, it's not just a thing anymore. Like, yeah. It is what it is now.
It's a show,
it's
not
a
just
show.
A dream in my head.
It's a script and it exists.
That's right.
I'm so excited. And you know what? Having seven incredible South Asian women read that magical shit out loud. It's after nine. Yes, great. That's nothing. It's so invigorating. Oh, microphone. I got too excited. But I would love to know, what do you want the audiences to, you know, feel or come out, you know, of the theatre? What do you want them to be thinking about? Or do you want them to be thinking? Do you just want them to just soak it in and be?
I think I do want audiences to be thinking after they leave that reading, just thinking about all the things that they consume on a daily basis that is quite often misogynistic and patriarchal, and how everyone is responsible for their own actions and looking after each other as a community. At the same time, I think I just want, this is what I said to Ben Henson, who was the dramaturg for the
shout out.
Shout out, Ben. He is amazing. This is what I said to him. I said, I just want women to feel so full in their cup after they've left and own every part of their body and their flaws and their pain and sacrifice that they leave feeling so proud to be a woman in everything that they have achieved or everything that they have struggled through. Yeah, because it's so inspired by women and it's for women, but it's also a critique on the patriarchal system that we live in that we should destroy because it's so toxic. And I just want people to fall in love with the words and the woman on stage, because it's all women, no men.
Sorry, Richard.
Yeah, I've been known to wear dresses.
You know what? Men rocking dresses is actually my new favorite thing. Benjamin Henson does it almost constantly, and I'm always like, I love you every single time I see you. And
he has such great style.
He does. Yeah. It's if you don't know who he is, he's got beautiful mustache.
Yep.
Always perfectly groomed.
Yeah.
He always smells phenomenal.
So good. Yeah.
Sorry, I don't go sniffing you, Benjamin, but...
Does he walk with a cane?
No. He doesn't.
Okay, no, so I wasn't sure if I may have met him.
If you look him up, you will know. You will know. You're like, oh, there you go. But he's beautiful. Oh my gosh, it's just a show about how beautiful Ben Henson is. And you know what? I think what a beautiful collaboration that's happened there is you being mentored by Ben. Such an experimental human, as well as bold.
Yeah.
As well as his mind works in ways that I don't often understand.
He has been a dream with this process. He has, like, lifted things out of my mind and given me new angles and ways to approach theater that have honestly helped me transform this idea into something bigger than anything I could have expected. And he's just there. He's game to hear the story. He's game to hear all the weirdness.
He loves chewing on that stuff.
Yeah, he
loves
does.
It. Yeah.
He does.
He gets his motor running.
Yeah, and I can see it in his eyes, and he's like, yes, this play needs to be seen.
Mm. I see the same fire with Ahi sometimes.
Yeah.
Where you just see their eyeballs just like something's a lot. There's fire happening behind there.
Flicker up.
Yeah, and it's amazing.
Yeah.
How incredible. It's going to be directed by Nathan Joe.
Yes, Nathan.
The amazing Nathan Joe. And the cast will be announced very soon. So follow us on Facebook. Mm-hmm. We've got Proudly Asian Pet - Proudly Asian Theatre. Check us out. The only way for you to get in the doors is to show up on the evening and write your name on the waiting list. And chances are you probably will be able to get in. But it's the final event. There will be cake. That's right. For last 2018, we had Uber Cake on stage. And, yeah, it was a hit. Will it come back? You will just have to get there to find out. Amazing, Jamushka. I'm so, so proud. I'm so, so excited. December 11th, 8:30 at the Basement Theatre.
Yep.
It's a start of something new. And it feels so right to be here with you.
Ah, that rhymed.
That was from High School Musical. Sorry, guys.
I thought it was an original.
I know.
I was convinced.
No, should've it wasn't. Kept that I should have. I really ran with it, eh?
Yeah.
You did.
Richard. Yes. Richard Manick, tell us about how we can follow along to Captain Festus
McBoyle. Yes, well, you can go to the website on captainfestus.com. And that will take you to all our Spotify links, all our show reels, videos, the whole shebang, Facebook, the lot. So you can go to the one place and you'll see it all there. But do check out the video, Jack Spratt. That is pretty epic.
We'll share it on our Kickarts page.
I already have.
You have. Love that.
I don't mess around. You know, it's on there. So if you want to check it out, it should be there. If not, please do add it.
I will.
But yeah, in terms of live stuff, we're off to Hamilton next weekend for the Santa Parade. We are singing on a pirate boat live through the streets of Hamilton. Which
is it Christmassy?
It's a big Christmas parade. So that's next Saturday, I think it is. That's going to be fun. And then, other than that, we're in Picton in January, I think the 16th, 17th, the Picton Maritime Festival. We're in Palmerston North for the Esplanade Day, February 16th, I think it is. But if you go to the website, all the gigs are on there. You can check out when they are. There's a few of them coming up now. So, I'm sure you'll be able to check us out before long. If you want to find out more about the music, just go on Spotify, Captain Festus McBoyle. There's three albums there.
It's so easy to find, team.
Yep, it's pretty straightforward. So it's all there. Have a listen. And feedback. If anybody does want to let us know about stuff, please let us know. Feedback's great.
I love that.
Because, it's nice to hear what people think. Mm-hmm. I mean, you just... You know, it's there's nothing nicer than getting comments, good or bad. It's just great to get some feedback. Then at least you know you're reaching people. Mm-hmm. So drop us a line.
You can always not take the feedback.
That's right.
You know,
feedback's worth its weight in gold.
I'd love that.
Yeah. So we're always open to it.
Do you guys have a Facebook and an Instagram?
Yes, we do. That's just under Captain Festus McBoyle as well. So you can check us out on Facebook. We're very proactive on there. It's always lots of oddball stuff. And we're on Instagram as well as Captain Festus on Instagram. So we're pretty proactive on the old social media. You kind of have to be these days, don't you?
You do.
It's a big part of it.
It's the only way to float around, really.
Yeah,
people know about it. Especially on good old Facey B.
Yeah.
Is Instagram an upcoming thing for you guys as well, or...?
It's a new thing for me.
It's a new thing for you.
I've been more sort of absorbed in Facebook and YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
So Instagram's fairly new for me. I don't really know all the ins and outs about it yet. That's probably more your domain.
Kind of.
We're trying.
Yeah.
Instagram is more younger generation kind of scope.
Younger millennials.
Gen Zs.
Absolutely. Everyone in this tiny room, not tiny really, it's bigger than my bedroom, bigger than my lounge. Thank you so much for joining me here at Planet FM. It's been an absolute pleasure getting to know both of your work, and I'm so excited for your own little journeys and your next adventures. Hamilton,
here we go. Next weekend, yep. That's going to be pretty mad. So, Yeah, and then the bigger festivals coming up in the new year. So,
oh, so many things happening. Stuff. Also, do check out their website because there are some amazing videos there to watch. And again, the Spotify, I'm currently playing music from Bubbles and Squeak. And it's been a treat so far, wouldn't you say, Jamushka?
I agree.
Oh, it's same. It's been wonderful. Thank you so much for having us all in. It's been lovely to meet you both. I'd just like to say thank you very much to my crew, actually. Gareth Price on guitars. An amazing surrealist artist, my lovely partner Larissa Loughley, who's also a costume designer for film and television and an amazing jeweler. Check out Maiden_Metal on Instagram. She makes the most amazing jewelry, so do check her out as well. And a big thank you to Amos Clark from Show Pony Records and Chris Chetland at Cog and Pascal Regan, Peter Toomey, Angel, everybody knows Angel. But yeah, thanks to all of these people because without them, this wouldn't actually be as amazing as it is.
It's a community.
Thank you so much to all of you.
Amazing. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. And just before we go, I just want to do a little drop plug as well.
Mm-hmm.
A Frickin' Dangerous Spacemas is at the Basement Theatre. We opened on the 21st of November and we're on till the 20th of December. If you want to have fun, feel the spirit of Christmas, but in a hilarious, comedic, nonsense-ic kind of way. That was in English, but you got it. Come along. It's an incredible show, and cast is Carrie Green, Sam Sneddon, David Kurios, and myself. So come see us play on stage, be silly, and live in outer space. So get your pals along, get your family. It is, I would say, adult, mature audience, but hey, if you want to teach your child a thing or two, don't say I didn't warn you. Anyway, I really want to know the little things. Would you mind introducing that before we go off air?
The little things. Actually, that was selected for Best Kids Song at the International Songwriting Competition.
I totally did not know that.
2018. Yeah, it was amazing. It was quite an honour. It's a worldwide thing. It was the last 2% of, was it 90, something like about 90,000 entries or something. Last 2%. It was crazy. We didn't win it, but, I mean, it was a privilege to get that far. So, we've had a lot of success with this song. The video is up to about 18,000 views. And song also featured on the Susie Cato's Totally Awesome Kids album.
I love it.
Which was released through Sony. Plus, it was the second single on Bubbles and Squeak. It's about the little things in life, kids, the simple things we... and little things, obviously, children. But the simple things in life that we sometimes overlook that really are important, that we need to... I guess recenter, come back in and
refocus
check on. Yeah, refocus.
Wow, guys, look, we're going to end with that. We will be back next week for another exciting episode with other new guests. And until then, spread love and kindness, be safe, work hard, and go out there and kick some art. This is The Little Things by Captain Festus McBoyle.
The little things in life that make you happy. The little things in life that make you smile. The little things in life that tend to really float your boat. Well, they tend to make you happy for a while. Oh, the little things like sauce upon the table. The little extra strawberry in the cream. The little things in life that tend to really float your boat. Like the day you got to curtsy for the queen. Because those little things in life that make you happy. The little things in life that make you smile. The little things in life that tend to really float your boat. Well, they tend to make you happy for a while. Oh, the little things like sauce upon the table. The little extra strawberry in the cream. The little things in life that tend to really float your boat. Like the day you got to curtsy for the queen. Because those little things in life that make you happy. The little things in life that make you glad. The little things in life that tend to really float your boat. Make you grateful for the things you have had. Oh, the little things like sauce upon the table. The little extra strawberry in the cream. The little things in life that tend to really float your boat. Like the day you got to curtsy for the queen.
Captain?
What, Ratty?
Can I play solo?
Yeah, go on then.
Goodness me, a rap with a guitar. You're bleeding amazing. Little fingers and toes, your tail jiggling away. Look at you go. Yeah, I think that's his feet.
Because those little things in life that make you happy. The little things in life that make you glad. The little things in life that tend to really float your boat, make you grateful for the things you have had. Oh, the little things like soups upon the table, the little extra strawberry in the cream. The little things in life that tend to really float your boat, like the day you got to curtsy for the Queen.